Cheers.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks, Joe.
You, Joe.
See you later, buddy.
Joe.
I like it very much.
Thank you very much. I'm
Please.
So you ready for the revenue side on the conservation budget? Let's see, the first couple items here are interest earnings, and essentially those are being kept the same as the current FY.
Question, if I might. You've got $2,000 so far this year in interest, and we estimated at $3,000. Interest on investment, is that the line we're on?
Oh, yeah. Yep, that first one, that's yeah. On the REAP.
On the REAP dollars.
REAP account.
So the REAP fund and the Friends of Conservation Fund are allowed to have interest credited to them. Not a lot of funds are. Mostly they have to go back to the general fund, but
mm-hmm.
these two actually do get interest on their REAP funds and their Friends of Conservation Fund. And I might make a note about that those balances are high right now, so the interest is coming in good. When they're planning on spending them, obviously they want to lower the interest that we will be getting. This is distributed through the county treasurer brings interest in every month, and this is part of that distribution based on their balance.
So you're anticipating a lower balance?
Yeah, we're calling to, so you'll see in the expense side, we're calling to spend a significant portion of that REAP balance.
Okay.
And so that's why we have it at $1,000.
Okay. That's good. Good explanation. Thank you.
The trust fund interest, we left the same. Although we are planning to spend out of the trust fund and the request that you have in front of you, overall, I think that interest will probably be static. Questions on those? Building rent, we have left the same as this FY. $5,000. Miscellaneous revenue, we adjusted that up slightly over FY20, based on three year actuals average.
Yeah.
So margin.
You've got most of it in this year though. You've already got $5,000.
You
just
never know how much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
FEMA, we're not expecting any FEMA income in 21. Let's hope. Actually, if we earn it, if we get a disaster declaration in 21, we won't see that until 26 anyway.
That's what I was going to say. Let me see. We amended the budget in 19 to bring it in. We amended the budget.
REAP funds. Right now, we're projecting just based on... This varies every year with just how much money the legislature appropriates to the REAP program.
Lisa, you want to suggest any different
methods?
Talk to your legislator,
which is not her anymore.
Right. So, you know, that $18,000 is represents about a $12 million appropriation from the legislature. This last year, it was actually a little bit less than that.
It seems to be going down.
Mm-hmm. It's based on tip.
28 down to
right.
23 down to, well.
Right.
Well, you've got 28 so far. You've got 26. Okay. Might be more.
Bitch.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, yeah, Jim points out that one's, that 18 is based on $10 million appropriation. This last legislative session, I believe they appropriated 10, but took two of that 10 to fund state parks and, instead, so essentially 8. Moving down, other state grants. These are, there's two grants here that we have already been, let's see, one that we have already been, we've already signed an agreement on, that's the $200,000 for CERPTA. The other one we have been awarded, but we haven't signed an agreement on yet, and that's the $530,000. So we're very comfortable with that $730,000.
Those are both account. For Heart of Iowa Nature Trail, right?
Correct. They're both phase two of the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail paving.
So my question here is, if we go look at reestimated for 20, is not that $1,013,520, isn't that actually the money that's tied to these grants of the $730,000? Or do we have two very close numbers? Is the $1,013,520 to pave this next section?
That, I believe that was phase one. That included
phase
some,
one. They
some,
just are
some
similar
grant
numbers.
Money for phase one.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Marianne's nodding too. Thank you.
And then next, under other state grants, we did receive a REAP grant this year, that the $76,000 that we're anticipating, we were awarded that in this FY. We won't receive it until next FY. That's the $76,000.
And that's going to be deposited and spent from the REAP fund.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And let's see, moving on, other general government fees. These are the fees that are generated through our environmental education program. Been, you know, always pretty static in the 30s, in the low to mid 30s, 30,000 range. So we're anticipating that 32 this year. And this is looked at every year, and you can imagine, you know, our education program, they have to schedule these programs out so far in advance, and so this is looking at their trips and the such, and their camps, etc., for this next year. So that's a really solid number. Camping. Camping, we have, we did a couple things. You'll see an increase in the overall amount, which is two things. One, it's opening Hickory Grove. We're having the new lake renovation at Hickory Grove, so we're anticipating more people there, as well as we increased the camping rate, the overnight rate, from $17 to $20. And that keeps pace with our analysis of other parks in central Iowa. So that's the genesis of the increase on camping.
I noticed that you don't have a fiscal year 20 re-estimate. You didn't move what the various amounts were. We don't show the subtotal. We just showed the total when we go back to fiscal year and the three-year average. And so I was just wondering about Dakin Lake. Did you increase those fees $3 also?
And which fees?
Dakin Lake camping fees?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. So it went to 20 also?
Correct.
All right. And is that staying pretty filled now? Did it
Dakin?
Last year? Yeah, Dakin.
No, I don't. No, I wish we were.
Okay.
But it's been growing. You know, this year we had a little bit higher because we had the Hickory Grove that was under construction. Hickory Grove was still open for camping, but you know, not as desirable for folks. So we saw a little bit of increase this year. Dakin's Lake, it's one of those. It's actually. It's actually coming to fruition, much as expected, where we saw a higher use right out of the gate when we opened it, and then it's come down a little bit, and now I think we're starting to get to that point where we're kind of stabilized, and now I expect it's going to start climbing up. As the park matures, as we get more shade and wind protection, etc., there we'll get more camping.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Boat rental fees, you notice last year we didn't have anything, or you know, I should say in this year we don't have any income because of the lake project. So we're expecting to bring that back. Moving on, rental. This is picnic shelter reservations. And again, I think you'll see the effect of new lake. New project, so we've adjusted that up slightly, and then also reflects usage at Dakin's Lake. Questions on that? Waterfront, these are concession fees, concession income, if you will. So again, without it being open last year, that's why we had it zeroed in FY20. Expecting that to come back a little bit higher than what we have done in the past, so we put it at 25. Then we'll move on down to donations for the trust fund.
No, it's
fund. Yeah, we don't have any land rent this year. No income on land rent. And donations, other grants, we've received a grant in this fiscal, but we're not for prairie seed at one of our new acquisitions, but not anticipating that for next year. So that's why those are zero. Under trust fund donations, first one is just kind of just a miscellaneous. Donations that come in largely unsolicited, might be memorials, but that's just has been a pretty static number throughout the years. So we've got $30,000 for that. The next one is Gladys Louis Estate. We are the beneficiaries on this estate that has been pretty static at $90,000 annually for the last several years. There was one year, I think, when we got $140,000 from it, but that was a blip. Good market prices, etc.
That comes off of that income.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is that farming operation?
That's farming income.
How many acres?
I'm not sure how many acres it is.
It could be a lot.
Yeah. And we're not the sole beneficiary either.
Okay. Great.
Sleepy Hollow Edition Accessible Hunting. We're showing that we anticipate some donations to come into this. If you recall, when we purchased the Sleepy Hollow Edition, which is 15 acres next to our Sleepy Hollow water trail access point, so our boat launch there, between that and between Highway 69 and Ada Hayden. So it's a small portion in there. You're all familiar with that property. I know it's been an alfalfa field for the last several years and some timber associated with it. Well, so we were fortunate enough to, when we acquired that, we wanted to establish that as an accessible hunting location. And so what this represents is donations that we anticipate to build some accessible hunting blinds, if you will, maybe a chairlift to get get Hunters up elevated. And we've also applied for some other grants that would give some accessible all-terrain type vehicle that would get people out. So we expect this to be a reservation system when people do want to hunt there, that we do it by reservation. And this is a kind of a cookie cutter approach that's been done in several counties across the state with accessible hunting. First time we've had it, and I think it's a tremendous addition to be able to offer to people. So that's what that $10,000 represents. Next is $23,000 on partners membership. That's our donation program, if you will, kind of a membership slash donation organization or support group that they pay annual memberships into that. So that's the $23,000, and that's been growing the last few years. That we've seen our partners income grow and our partners membership grow. That's what we're anticipating for this next year.
And I think part of the reason for that growth, Mike, is because the partners' members are designating a particular project to donate towards each year rather than just the general donation.
Correct.
Related to that, then, if I could ask, how does the Outdoor Alliance fit in? Do they also donate money, or is it a different? Okay, because they're not listed here.
Correct. We don't. We haven't planned on their donations, so we haven't budgeted for any donation from them because we don't know when or how that might transpire or for what. They make their decisions on projects that they support. And I will say just recently, in fact, the end of the fiscal, they did give us four separate $1,000 donations toward different projects. So they are supporting us. They are supporting the work that's being done. But thus far, we haven't budgeted for it because it's an unknown.
Yeah. And they're totally independent, so they make their own decisions.
Sure. It would be like having the budget for Audubon, Bluestem Audubon, get information. Just another nonprofit out there that supports us in a variety of ways.
Okay, thank you.
But in terms of it would go into this donations line item when they did donate, under miscellaneous donations, I assume.
Correct.
So that would be shown.
Correct. Correct.
In the year in which it was received.
Correct.
As revenue.
Yep.
So it's not getting launched there. So if we compare this, the projected revenue, to what has our 3-year averages, we know that's in there.
It would go under, I think, miscellaneous.
Exactly.
Right.
So what I'm saying is it's not hidden in any way.
Right.
The revenue,
no.
You just can't know you're going to get it next year, so you
correct.
Put it in.
Correct.
Thank you.
Then moving on, firewood sales. Of course, this is an increase a little bit from this current fiscal. And then fuel tax, titling fees are essentially static. So any questions?
Doesn't
sound like it. We want to get on to page 80. All right. Are you ready for the expense side? So Linda, you said we'll chat about that FTE request at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, so we won't address that. We don't touch our essentially those personnel expenses. So
yeah, you might want to just start with extra help there, yeah, only because that's, yeah, something that you guys, you know, put in. So just touch on extra help and overtime if you want.
Appreciate that.
So on our seasonal staff salaries, or what's called extra help, we do have that at $106,000 this year, which is a little bit of an increase over last year. It includes that 25-cent an hour increase as well. And it does also include outreach position that is in this FY, so there's no change there. I think the other reason that increases is because now we're hiring, we'll need to hire waterfront aides again, which we didn't hire this year.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two reasons why you'll see that slight increase in seasonals. Questions on those? Overtime pay is static. Let's see, then moving down.
Probably down to Conservation Board, line item 126.
Conservation Board, again, that's been a pretty static figure.
Mike, I related to this. Are we not this summer hosting the state conference, so that'd be fiscal year 21, and I didn't see any expenses split out for that, and I was wondering, is that part of the few of that expenses now under the increase for Conservation Board, or is there a whole separate group that's raising that money separately?
So, good question. We contracted with events planning group, the conglomeration there with ISU and ACVB.
Okay, sure.
And so they're doing the conference management on this.
Okay.
We had some money in this FY that's kind of some startup expenses that we have, but they're going to take the expenses and they're going to take the revenue, and then the balance, then they would transfer over to the state association whose conference it is. So essentially it takes us out of the position of handling the money for that conference.
And
the management.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like a great plan. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and part of the whole process, too, is raising sponsorships and exhibitors to come. Mm-hmm. And that will reduce the cost for people to attend, and also just increase the profit for the association. And there's been invaluable support from that conference planning and management group on how to handle all of this. It's just saved us a huge amount of time.
Mm-hmm. So that's usually how those things kind of go, that's what I'm familiar with. The statewide association does it all. Story County is simply the host county. You may have more of a planning role, but you don't have a fiduciary role in any way.
Correct. Most of the time when this conference has been done, the hosting county has handled all of the finances.
Well, they have.
They have. Ooh. Most of the time. This is the first time, most of the time, all the time. This is the first time that we've kind of break in that mold.
Oh, wow.
Mike had to have a great job of convincing the association that it's a good idea. And we think it's a very good idea.
Well, the amount of time is incredible. And I come in, I mentioned at the board meeting, the conservation board meeting the other night, that they thanked them for that forethought and recognition that this is an incredible, incredible demand on staff time, and that this was a much better plan. And so thanks for your support on that.
Great.
Okay. Well, there has been staff time that's gone into it, certainly, but we're trying to minimize staff to the point where 3 days when the conference is here, it'll be all hands on deck, but, including all the board members, of course, but we're trying to minimize as much as we can.
And you've got a couple other volunteers, like former Supervisor Clinton is coming,
yes,
working on that, et cetera.
Right.
So you, yeah, like, okay, thank you. It's good to hear. That's all.
Yep.
Four steps.
Good catch.
Shop supplies?
So shop supplies is, this varies a little bit per year, of course. It's, we have a little bit of money that we just budget for miscellaneous expenses. We know they're going to come up that we need. And then we'll put specific needs in here as well. This year we need to replace a pole saw at McFarland shop. And then also this year we're hoping to purchase three trail counters, if you will. We have been using trail counters that have been owned by the MPO, and it's been great to have them. They've given us some really good information. Ryan's been coordinating that with trail usage, particularly at Slater. And the difference between trail usage on the High Trestle Trail and the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail has been astounding. But every time we use these, we have to take the chips out of the counters and take them down to Des Moines and then wait a period of time before we get the results. And so this would be purchasing the same system that we would own. We give the MPO their system back, and plus it gives us the flexibility to put them at other locations as well.
So these are also one-on-one trail counters. Excuse me, there's also two of those three are vehicle counters. So what we learned from these site visit surveys is we really don't have a good draft on visitation in our parks. We need to get some numbers on that so we can assign values to a lot of our parks and projects.
So I think that makes a lot of sense, because I've asked that question a lot.
Right.
How many people go to this park? How many people come here?
I can tell you the counters that we have, that we do have through the WIN MPO, they've been incredible in giving us numbers to build off of for grant funding. We have 99% more use on the High Trestle Trail in Slater than we did at the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail in Slater, which is why we were convinced that we needed a hard surface trailer to get that use and send people eastward through Story County. So, again, these are just continuing to grow that and leverage our information and funding.
The board was interested in trail usage at new parks like Telk, other roads. And as you said, it really helps with a lot of grants. A lot of grants are asking, what is your usage? And helps us. Been very aggressive in getting proposals in. And the more we can document, the better. So, be nice to have our own.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, any questions on that? Then moving on, we've got environmental education supplies. Now these are just programming supplies necessary for the EE program. The one specific request we do have on here is three, what's called a chronolog. And again, I think this will help us to document change. And it's essentially a station that cell phones or smartphones get mounted on at different parks, and people are encouraged to take a picture. So they mount their phone on a little bracket, and they take a picture, and then that there's a service that goes with that, the web service, and they'll collect, choreograph all of those photos. And let's say at the end of the year, or end of any time period, if you know however many photos were taken, then you'll get a kind of a chronolog of images that they're all taken there. So if 100 pictures are taken, then you get all those 100 pictures at different time periods whenever they were taken. And so it'll be used for used in our EE program to document how landscapes change, if you will, over time. And also be used to document, if you will, kind of usage or you know, how parks are being used at the same time. So,
they take my cell phone. I put it on this device. The device, would I have it point back at me and I'd be in the background? No, it's just taking what's being seen from a forward and I'm
right.
Still pushing the button.
Right.
And what does it do? Wirelessly transmit?
Yeah, the user would need to upload it.
Okay.
And that would all be, all the instructions, et cetera, would be there at the station.
Mm-hmm. So what's neat is, especially the area that you're restoring, you can really show how the vegetation changes. So you can use it for environmental education purposes as well as just that public engagement piece. It's a big sell. Lowers your price thinking of our selfie station that we have with the bacon right now, where you can turn it back on yourself.
Yeah.
I suppose you could at this too.
Yeah, you probably could.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I bet this, but they will.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Let's see. Next would be the EE supply for trust fund. Now these are expenses that might go along with some of those trust fund donations. And again, you'll see memorials listed here. We receive those on a regular basis. We have a procedure that we need to go through that the board approves all of those memorials. So a lot of times we'll it seems like maybe 80% of the time those are benches. And so a family may come forward and want to put a park bench out in someone's name, and so that's what that represents. Partners Youth Service Projects. So that is a certain portion of the membership donations in the Partners Program that is designated toward youth projects. And so some sort of youth service project. It could be an Eagle Scout project, or it could just be any other kind of volunteer project that youth in the community bring forward. The next two accounts, custodial supplies and equipment parts and supplies, are with Joby at Facilities Management. So, Joby, do you want to talk about these?
Slide on.
So are they in Joby's budget?
No.
Oh, okay.
Joby manages these.
Gotcha.
And Joby manages the building. Building infrastructure, mechanical, and which has been wonderful. You know, we started this, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
Before that, it was the building, the McFarland Park Conservation Center.
Okay.
Was managed entirely by our program, and we knew, frankly, we couldn't do the job that Joby was doing, the facilities could do. And so it's been wonderful to have Joby in charge of the building. So that's what this represents.
So yeah, I just figured it was appropriate for me to go through it because I can answer any questions better. So we'll just start at the top with general supplies. Majority of that is like chemicals, cleaning chemicals, rubber gloves, that kind of stuff is what comes out of the general supplies. Next one down, new equipment, repairs, existing equipment. We're looking at purchasing a new vacuum cleaner there. We have an auto scrubber. We talked about auto scrubbers in mine, so there's one that sits there, so maintaining that piece of equipment. Laundry services, that's rugs, mop heads, dust mops, those kind of various pieces of various items. And then pest control, not a lot of pest control there. It's mostly wrangling mice. Primarily what we do there. Don't use any real chemicals.
Okay, questions on that one?
Forming a mental image of right.
I am. I had called Joby yesterday because I was at Fairway and bought some food, dumped out the food on my desk, and a cockroach came out. So I immediately got on a call to Joby to wrangle the cockroach, but I killed it. But it was okay. Yeah, but it came out of my Fairway bag.
I know.
Yeah.
I ended my day. Not all of them are live trapped, but yep.
We're happy they're gone.
We've seen
their names on our desk.
Yeah.
Alarming.
Yeah.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Chew, you know, with that. Yeah. With that, we also, they like to chew holes in the cedar siding out there. So we try to keep them plugged up, keep them out. Yeah. Wrangling is a good term.
So overall, I think, Joby, we've been noticing, or as I looked at budget, so for cleaning supplies, they have gone up just a few percent in cost,
yep.
et cetera, right?
Yep. So, yeah. Yeah, a little bit. You know, it seems to be with our custodial supplies, it's about every other year they kind of go up about 2 or 3 percent. So.
Okay.
All right. We'll move on to equipment, parts, and supplies. All right. First one's general repair. That's kind of your typical work order type stuff. You know, staff out there see something, they shoot us an email. That's generally where those types of repairs come out of, is the general repairs. Next one's inspections, permits. That's usually our annual fire alarm, monitoring fees, and inspections, state required inspections on those, and then any repairs that that system may need. And keyless entry and video monitoring. There's licensing fees for both of those systems, and then periodic repairs. And then we're looking at continuing on with doing some lighting upgrades there. The next one we're going to do is the lobby area. It's got a lot of track lighting. It's poorly lit, so we're going to do some LED lighting upgrade in there. The whole building's got new windows now. It's due for some new shades. It's currently got blinds. They're in poor condition, to word it nicely. So we're going to go with some shades that do a little bit better at blocking light, especially in the multi-purpose room. So when you use that projector in there, it helps cut the light from the windows coming in. And, gutters on the place are at least 30 years old. They're pretty beat up. I think they leak more water than they relocate the water. So it's due for new ones. As you can see, the average come down, but we've done a lot of big projects there in the last couple of years. So primarily this fiscal year was the multi-purpose room. We're about 80% done with that project. We got the new ceiling in, the new lights. We still got to do the floor, and then there's a few lights to go in there, but it's getting there. It's just about done. Specific questions?
On that whole category, okay, just the office renovations for additional staff. So that's...
Yeah, so that would be part and parcel with if the FTE request is approved,
mm-hmm.
Then doing some work in the office to make a workstation for that individual.
That'd be at McFarland.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Correct. Yep. And then the next one is some funds to put a kind of a privacy screen around the dumpster and the portable potty that's in the parking lot. It'd be nice to finally get that done. So that's what those two are. Any other questions?
To go along, and if there's any other things that would apply to the additional position, would you point it out?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
Well, I'll slide on out.
Thank you.
Office supplies, or I'm sorry, vehicle fuels and maintenance. So you see this number is pretty static with this current fiscal. We really haven't changed the fuel, you know, fuel consumption, but we've adjusted the price per gallon of fuel to $3 per gallon. So. And I think that's the standard countywide rate. The only other thing is that we have on this category is a new request, and that is to replace the, if you will, the teeth. For lack of a technical word, is probably teeth.
That's what they call it.
But it's on our forestry mower, so it's kind of a drum mower. That mulches trees, etc., takes trees down and small brush, and been a tremendous machine, and we've got a lot of work done with it, and so as a result, those teeth are worn significantly, and we need to get those replaced.
Is this the first time replacing mower that you've got people's equipment in the maintenance item that you need to take care of this often?
So the fuels and maintenance increased significantly from 2018 to 2019. What was that primarily due to? Usage or price?
Purchase. We purchased.
The purchase in there.
Yeah, there was three purchases in FY20.
And they go in fuels and maintenance?
Yeah, they were... parts for some
parts. Okay.
For some additional parts for the equipment.
In 19, and that trend is increased into 20 though, because you got an 87,000 re-estimate. So there likewise more parts in 20.
So for 20, it looks like they put in the budget to spend $3,700 on a fire slip-in, landscape attachment, and tires for special projects. So I think what they do is, if I may, what they do is they budget the two main line items of general maintenance and fuel, mm-hmm. and then they add additional one-time things as they go throughout the year. So it's Well, I understand where you're going with the average.
Yeah.
It went up substantially from...
It stayed up, right.
But what I'm saying is every year they add some things to purchase or to specially do out of this line item.
Okay, and they previously weren't in this line item?
Or they weren't needed.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just one-time items that
Rotate.
And it does make that account. This is similar with what we've done on lots of these different mm-hmm. accounts we just did on the one that Joby talked about. They're the one-time items that make it fluctuate quite a bit.
But you're seeing, you know, the reason I asked was in 17, you spent $48,000 in this line item. 18, you spent $58,000. And in 19, you went up to $91,000. And you're up to 80, you're at 87. So if you graph that, it's like, oh, there was this huge jump and you've maintained it. And I was just trying to figure out why. And maybe you're
more
curious. We had in 19, we had 51.8 for an actual on general maintenance and repairs. And in that FY, we had a significant I think we had $12,000 tractor repair.
Okay.
So we've had some significant repairs that made that go up.
Same this year, then? What do you think this year? Why is this year so much higher than year?
I just said they have three purchases.
Three purchases.
Five, six,
okay.
Seven.
Right.
Okay.
So, okay. But you didn't include those separately like you did with the forestry mower too.
Didn't include.
Okay, sorry.
But then going into 21, you're anticipating
other purchases.
No other purchases other than the forestry.
So
right.
Then I'm with Liam.
But their general maintenance has been at the $38,000 for a couple.
Yeah, so
I don't know if you're spending that full $38,000. I think it's
on that general maintenance line. Yeah, on the general maintenance line in 19 we were at 51.8. And then we drop it back down to what we anticipate, the 38 for FY20, and we're keeping it at 38 for 21.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
There's more to me. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now go ahead.
Okay, ready for office supplies
mm-hmm.
then? Pretty static on the office supplies as well.
Mm-hmm.
We do have, this is where we pay for our ArcView licenses, and then this is where we have some transaction fees for our online sales or reservations, if you will. So people, for the last several years, we've been allowing online reservation of camping sites and online sign-ups for educational programs, online donations, et cetera, et cetera. And we've got quite a bit of use there. And so these are just transaction fees associated with that.
Now, why would this not be running through IT?
Why would it not run through?
Well, because we've got a lot of license renewals. I mean, you know, software. This is software. And so almost everything we've got for software runs through IT, correct?
The ArcView has always come through the department from day one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is.
Is that something that Barb said leave it there? Or
do you remember the ArcView situation?
It has to do with
it's because it's GIS and that's a multi-funded source.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway,
yeah.
The county funds some of that, the assessors fund some of that, so I think it's maybe just cleaner to keep it in his apartment so we know who we like. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't remember the original.
And then this if you were talking about, I don't know if you're talking about the online My County Parks also, that's pretty much specific to conservation use.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not something that because I know I've quizzed Marianne and a couple times about, well, can somebody else use this? No, it's statewide,
mm-hmm.
all the different, if you participate, so this is paid out of there and they manage it and the state auditors itemize it. And, yeah.
The system run by the Iowa Conservation, or Cowper Conservation System, as it says.
Right.
And we get significant, everybody, because everybody's a part of it, we get a significant advantage. Because people go there and they see campsites, other things, statewide. They do a lot of advertising, just a big thing. A lot of our photos were used in the statewide travel, Visitor Bureau, publications, all that. So we get a lot of value for having them do it.
So as I go here, as I go down here to, I've gone to the IT budget, and I've gone to equipment rent / maintenance, which are the maintenance and the all of the various subscriptions. Mm-hmm. All right. So ArcView maintenance is listed for the auditor's department.
Correct. That's right. Because Scott actually maintains the county map. So, like, the access that Scott and Matt Boyd both have to the GIS system is at a higher level than the department sort of access to pull the layers that they need. But so the auditor's office is responsible for maintaining the county official map, and that's what mm-hmm. Scott does.
Right. So, and we've got, we're also the Board of Supervisors, we're getting charged part of that fee, okay, because
Leanne has it.
So my point here is that for the county to keep the best track possible of what we're really getting in software licenses and who they're assigned to or whatever, Barb's got a good system here. All right, and I'm just trying to figure out why you guys are split out as far as saying only you use it, you know, only one department uses it. I'm going to go down to the county attorney, ProLaw. Nobody else in the county uses ProLaw, which is also software, but that also is going through IT. I think we're inconsistent.
Yeah. But it might be something the MAPS committee decided was the way to go, but the county would fund so many.
I think for licenses,
this is probably the only thing we're going to find in that way, and that's
because of the fact that the GIS system is funded separately and differently.
I know.
So I think that's the, and if you want to talk about moving that, we can talk about moving that.
Later. Okay. It's not something to stop us from moving.
And it's not something that they made the choice to say.
I pay for Scott, and then I pay for additional licenses to feel like Rhonda can access it.
Yeah, I see.
So whether or not we move it doesn't change the amount, doesn't change the ask or the need. Correct. So let's just move on.
Right.
One thing to argue, my experience with it is that you don't necessarily, if you amalgamate them all together, you wouldn't get a reduction in license fee.
No, I understand that.
Per site license.
But for a tracking standpoint, I mean, you know, and then I see planning and development too. Down under.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Moving ahead. We'll follow up.
Okay, recreation supplies.
Can we talk real quickly about, I have a note to myself. I want to make sure I understand it. In the narrative, you put FEMA floods, repair to Heart of Iowa Nature, and 2018 flooding. For I'm showing 205,000 somewhere. Do we have 200? Have you spent that 205,000? Where, if so? Am I taking in tons? Or was it 162 paid out in 19? Okay, so I'll have to worry about the 205. Is what you're telling me? It's reestimated in the 19, nothing for 20, but I didn't know if we actually were going to spend any in 20 because FEMA is so long-term.
No, our FEMA expenses have all happened.
Okay,
already.
Perfect. Thanks. I'm good.
Good?
Yeah. So now you can go back to recreation supplies.
Okay. So you'll see this came up this year for 21 versus 20 because of food for the concession stand at Hickory Grove. Uniforms and equipment. This number is down a little bit from last year because we had some specific things last year that we needed to do, primarily with our law enforcement equipment. So those are now off the budget for 21 request. Let's see. So this year we do have a little bit of money there for some ammunition for our law enforcement program so they can qualify as per requirement. So we've got $3,000 in there. And we anticipate spending that $3,000 every other year, if you will. That's a 2-year supply of ammunition.
Mike and Ryan, do you guys also have vests, ballistic vests? But you've got those already. And so, noticing in the sheriff's budget, they have 5-year warranties on them?
Correct.
So
we're actually up this year, so we're researching opportunities for that. Previously, we got those funded through a federal grant. What Mike and I found out this year is that federal grant is out. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of trying to figure out the costs associated with that.
So they're going to need them.
Yeah, so when you say the federal grant is out, they're out of, they don't have the money or whatever. It's not that it's out that you can apply for.
Correct. I'm
okay.
Sorry,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I wanted to be clear on that. Thank you.
So depending on which time, because I asked afterwards, I asked Nick Lenny and then it just about Beth, because there were two different costs in their budget. So $750 and then $1,750, which were the assault vests.
Yeah, so it depends on what level of Kevlar you're getting underneath, and then also what texture you may need with it, which is what you put the vest in. So that's the outer layer of the vest.
Okay, thank you. So really, we're not done with equipment here. You're going to either in fiscal year 20 or definitely fiscal year 21, the warranty expires on them, so you're going to need to get them, and then if you flip over to the different type,
correct,
you'll need new carriers on them.
Correct. So we're anticipating that in 20 is what we're doing. So
in 20.
I've been researching the price and cost on that, and I don't have enough information to put any figures together.
So you have four?
Four.
Sorry. So,
and they're not all expired.
Oh, okay.
Three of them will be expired.
Are they the ones that wrap all the way down? So we could figure $1,000, an estimate, going from the sheriff's budget, they're $750 or $1,750. I guess we could split the difference and estimate three.
Hard to be on the lower end.
Okay, right. Three at $750.
But
then
you're looking at doing them this fiscal, you said.
This fiscal year.
So you've got money identified. I think you can identify the money in your budget to do that.
Mike and I and Marion haven't had those conversations about her.
Okay,
I can't.
So you're looking for you.
We haven't vetted that out.
So what I'm hearing is out of the current budget, probably, without additional funding.
Correct, but we haven't accommodated that in a re-estimation yet.
Right.
You might have to re-estimate.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Can't put the old ones on the DOT auction.
What a really big as is fight.
May or may not
work.
Right. Okay. Any other questions on uniforms and equipment? Moving on, health and safety. Again, kind of a static number here. We do have a one-time expense here right now in 21 of Knowles training for wilderness first aid for two of our naturalists.
That stands for?
What's that?
Could I ask what Knowles stands for?
National Outdoor Leadership School.
Thank you.
I tell you what, I think you all know that we have an incredible group of naturalists, and they're very, very capable of supervising and not only just the teaching ability, but to supervise and plan, coordinate, etc. Because they have a lot of responsibilities on their shoulders when they're out there. Say if they're out in a remote area with a group of children, they have a lot of responsibility, and so they manage that quite well. But this, if you will, gives us a little bit more protection. Knowing that they have gone through this. They have had to use first aid in the past and have managed that exceptionally well. But we feel that we'd like to protect ourselves a little bit better with this training.
This is also the industry standard for outdoor education, recreation, and environmental education. It's an expectation,
though. Any questions for that?
I just include that it is, they're going to do two every other year. So it's a 2-year license, kind of like your first aid CPR. So it's 2 years, so they're going to do two, and then the next year they're going to do two, and then it'll be recertifications after that.
Yeah, and that's a small amount on here, though, and your 3-year average is $56.90. And so far this year, you spent $21.55. So I'm struggling a little to see how you're getting to the re-estimate of $6,900.
I don't think any of the, I don't want to speak, but I don't think the CPR and stuff training happens until spring.
The training is more in the spring.
Right.
Okay.
They hire their temporary staff or seasonal staff to have a bunch of training.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, ready to move on to volunteer management?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, this current year we've got 7,000 in for this year, and we're looking at 6,500 for next year. For the most part, again, static with this current FY.
When did the volunteer data management fee start?
Last year.
Okay, so that accounts for some difference there. Thank you.
Yep. Which has been a tremendous tool,
mm-hmm.
Really has been. So volunteers can register for different events at home. They get on this service website, and it tracks their hours, and it's just a wonderful tool. You know, a lot of times volunteers don't like to track their hours. They're modest, and they don't feel they need to do it. Well, for us it helps to get that, but this just makes it one step easier. And also, this is electronic signatures on the non-statutory form that we need to do. So mm-hmm. So that helps with reducing paperwork as well. Marketing, this figure is a little bit less for FY21 than it is this year for 20. Brochures, you know, it includes just our, might be career fair expenses or different advertising and also some equipment. This current year, this is where Marianne earlier was talking about buying a phone, et cetera. That was approved in this fiscal. So we'll remove that for next fiscal and just go down to kind of a base printing for brochures, et cetera.
So I'd like to talk about the iPhone, the microphone, gimbal for the live streaming. Now, was it a year ago, I think, I talked to Jerry Keyes about the stream because IT had brought up some concerns about the live streaming with not being coordinated with IT, everything from delays, you know, should there be a delay, we're a county channel in case somebody's mouth starts going off and some other issues. Now, I talked to Jerry at that time because it sounds like that was kind of who might have been doing it. He said, oh, we've done very little live streaming. Have you done any more live streaming in 2019 as far as events and activities?
Well, we haven't had the equipment. We just now bought this phone.
Okay,
so we haven't
delayed
had,
on that even.
We haven't had the equipment to do it. So
some of the live stream that we did produce, I think, was up in the
personal.
Yeah,
it was
a personal air.
So what we find is that was extremely popular, and it was a great opportunity for us to get our name out there.
Okay.
And engage the public. So that's why they wanted to pursue a more thorough plan.
Mm-hmm. So are you aware of also the county's social media policy, and has the conservation board adopted it?
Not yet.
Okay, so that's the concern, not that you're doing it, not that you've spent the money finally, okay, but that it is in keeping in line with what the county would like as far as standards of language, you know, let's face it, okay, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, I guess who's going to be back live streaming? Is it Jerry again, mostly going to help coordinate with the other naturalists, or is Erica going to?
Erica will coordinate it.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. So I know she's worked with Leanne in the past, but definitely should check in with IT too, please.
Right.
Okay, just to make sure we're all on the same page with that.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Thank you.
So will you say this iPhone that's under marketing has already been purchased?
Correct. That's
and
in
should
this
be taken
current
in.
Fiscal.
No,
and
it's not in there. I mean, it's listed,
but the money's
but the, if you notice, there's nothing beside it. So last year they had, for those things, $1,040. this year there's nothing there. So the 9,000 is all brochures, craft fairs.
Oh, this whole second line should be stricken then.
Well, yes.
I just put a zero.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
just put a zero.
Okay. I didn't understand it was a separate line. I thought it was a continuation of what was in the 9,000. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, on the postage mail increase status there, we have the reason that that's come down is that we have a fair balance right now on our postage machine, and so that's why we're bringing that down. Mm-hmm. I don't expect that that's going to stay down, so a year from now we'll need to bring that back up. But for 21, we've got a pretty healthy balance.
Because, yeah, you've got, it shows 3,000 even on the re-estimate, which I assume includes that balance, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I actually, I have a note, but that's one that I might need to increase a little bit. I convinced Mike to bring that down to the 800, but in between the time of doing the budget and now, I got a bill from the post office for our permit fee, and I forgot that I didn't realize that that was an annual fee. So I'm thinking we might need to, you know, bump that 800 up a little bit for that annual fee plus the other
$250 fee.
Is it so?
Yeah.
So $1,050 would cover the fee, plus you wouldn't anticipate maybe new purchase. The
yep.
$3,000 covers what's on the machine that to buy down, basically, that
right.
you can keep on running those mailings through.
Yes.
We write through.
Yeah, I do need that to go up. $1,050.
All right, ready for communication services?
Mm-hmm.
So this is up this year for 21 versus 20. One of the reasons that that's up is you'll see down toward the bottom we have a couple specific items. One is the MP70 mobile router purchase. You're probably familiar with this through the sheriff's office?
Yeah, kind of. What exactly, where did you get your set $6,500 amount from?
We got our numbers from the sheriff's office.
Okay, I'll include you, Ryan. Did you kind of coordinate that with them? Okay. Oh, great. I'm going to be sending an email, an inquiry email later. When you go through the sheriff's budget, we couldn't figure out. I didn't ask when he was here, but it's very unclear. What exactly the price is on those. Also, if what I looked up for an MP70 online said it was a mobile phone router, a mobile wireless router, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so then I have some questions about then why do we have to have the cell phones too, et cetera. But anyway, so it's that. I'll be asking some query questions, but I didn't have any router that showed up at $6,500 on theirs.
That's for four.
For four.
Correct.
Oh.
So we can put that detail in. These are the wireless routers that go into the law enforcement vehicles.
Yeah.
So that a computer can talk to the cell phone towers.
Okay. Expect that email. Just
okay.
For edification, I'll be passing it on to everybody. We
okay.
are all are kind of curious.
Yes.
And then that annual license fee and support is for that router.
It's for the router.
So that's times four.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's for four, yeah.
See, where the body cameras, your sworn officers wear the body cameras all the time?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, we adopted the sheriff's office protocols for those, so we carry them in our law enforcement program.
Okay.
And then this also represents the new tower piece. so an increase there.
And you did not put the actual purchase of the radios any place in here because StoryCom's purchasing your radios.
Correct.
Or Story County is through our StoryCom money. Excuse me. Okay.
And they will have the full fee because they're not.
They're not
public safety.
Correct.
That's so weird considering you guys have to go to the law enforcement academy and.
I'm sorry. What's that?
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, that's news to me.
They go to the law enforcement academy.
Yeah. For
sure. StoryCom determined who the public safety was going to be, and public safety did not include the conservation radios, did it?
Yeah.
The only reason I'm saying this at all. So three of them?
I think that's a 911 question rather than a StoryCom question, because 911 is paying 50% for public safety, but whether they...
So the tower fees, the $34 a month tower fees for your radios, if your public safety, E911, would pay half of the tower fees ongoing. If you're not public safety, then everybody's responsible for their own.
Are you Iowa code deemed as a peace officer? That's what I was thinking. That's what I was. I think I remember working on that.
We have a meeting. No, you're fine because you put $34 a month in, so you're fine.
We may. I'll check with the sheriff.
We have a story time meeting tomorrow, so we'll double
and
check.
And it's 911.
These are only used for our law enforcement operations. These radios won't be for our day-to-day tasks or other
things. Right.
But it's really going to be about the 911.
But you have, but only four of them.
Not story.
Not nine of them would be considered public safety.
Four mobile vehicles. And then five are portables, so that's the portable that goes on your belt, and there's four of those for the officers and one for the driver to be used in law enforcement capacity.
Yep.
My understanding is that all nine would qualify.
Are you a sworn?
I'm not, no.
So it would be four out of the... So your portable may not be eligible.
Eight out of nine
would be, okay. I'll double check that. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa will let you know too. Okay.
Any other questions on communication services? Okay, education and training. This, we're showing that same $100 per employee increase that we talked about on the IRBM budget. And we are also showing that training budget for the new FTE. So if that's approved, then that's $600 here as well. Any questions on that? Utilities. Pretty static on utilities over the last few years. This we're showing actually just a slight decrease over FY20.
Bacon is 11,000 electricity.
I guess.
Any other questions on utilities? All right, grounds maintenance. Now this account has. Oh, if you will, this is where all of our our operations supplies come from, et cetera. Grounds maintenance supplies come from for the parks. And so, you know, we've got various categories here or lines that we've historically always represented. And for example, general maintenance, that's kind of the catch-all, if you will. And then gravel expenses, signs and posts, chemicals, etc. So those items our status quo. And then we get down into some specific items. On page 87.
I'm a bit surprised to see that already there's some Dakin equipment for replacement.
Yeah, so are we.
Yep.
Okay, are we under some warranty there still about going back?
We chased that down, so I can elaborate on those. Okay. Are we there yet?
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
So the hydrants, what we found is the internal mechanisms on these hydrants that are at the campsite. Essentially, there's two mechanisms. It can come out the front or it can come out of a hose bed. Depending on how you switch the converter, what we found is the mechanism inside of there allows, it gets clogged up very easily with minor debris that really shouldn't be in the system anyways, and then it really restricts flow. So we're getting complaints from people that are hooking up their RVs and their campers to that water, and they're getting very, very low water pressure. When we remove those internal mechanisms, which doesn't allow you to use the converter anymore, essentially we're getting full pressure. So it's the internal mechanism of those hydrants. So hindsight, we should have went with a different brand of hydrants.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those were recommended by our engineers. And then the shower system replacements, those were they're very particular shower systems. So essentially they're used in prisons because they're vandal proof. Which you like.
Mm-hmm.
You push a button, and what that button does is it takes this long hose, and there's a little float inside of an air tube. It pushes that float all the way in, and then as that air depresses out, it comes back, and that's when your shower shuts off. There's a lot better mechanisms out there to do that. What we're finding is our showers are either staying on, or they'll push them, and they'll come off right away. And we have to take a lot of staff time taking these panel crew things apart that are sealed up, like Fort Knox. And then you got to get in there and intricately work with these. It's a huge pain. We spend a lot of staff time. They're not very functional, and we're having a lot of issues.
Who was our engineer on this again?
This was Shai Padre. And so these showers were recommended through the Round Tech Building Systems. That was the building vendor that we used. So the shower systems weren't necessarily recommended by Shai. They were recommended by our building supplier.
And we've had freeze problems in the winter as well, or startup problems in the spring, I should say, even though they're winterized.
They don't drain the water out very well because they're not meant for Midwest weather. They're meant for indoor prison facilities.
Thank you for enlightening us.
So, yes, we are equally disappointed that we're already having to do something like that.
Okay. So, a lot of the Hickory Grove things seem to be associated with the work that's been done through the CIP. I was just wondering, these weren't included in there, so they're coming under maintenance, or are these really maintenance?
These are, I guess these are improvements that are not part of the renovation project, but may be related to it. So they're kind of a tangent to that renovation.
They're incidental to the renovation.
But there is not money in the funds for the renovation to cover them.
No.
So it's an additional $30,000.
And so I believe it was last year that that some of those some of these renovation costs were brought into this budget. Or into specifically maybe the trust fund, but at any rate, these are, as Ryan said, incidentals. That first one, or maybe Ryan, you just want to go through these?
Sure. The trail bridge over the tube. So as we mentioned last night, that meeting, we do have a trail that now goes around our lake. The DNR was willing to place those spoils in key locations so we could do that, but their money did not cover the scope of building trails and bridges for Story County Conservation, so we need to do that on our private side.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets us across the two tubes there on in between the east and west lakes. The
12 acres of supplemental seed for the soil site. We're going to be using our combine run to overseed over the soils that were placed on site. So we want to regenerate that to the prairie. Our combine run is a good starter mix. It is not a full diverse prairie mix. So we're asking for money to supplement flowers and forbs for so we can have a more diverse mix, which is pretty standard practice for us. And we have to
repeat. Would you be getting the mix locally or?
Yes, it's all local EcoTech seed that will source from potentially different vendors that we know and trust.
Okay.
Victory Grove, the control structure for East Game. So to drain, essentially there's a private area in the East Game Lake that has a, or I'm sorry, it's not private, it's public. It's adjacent to private land. There's a little wetland that essentially has functioned as a detention basin for a while. It had an L-shaped structure on it that was not very functional. It would get clogged up with beavers would clog up all the time and try to backwater up onto that private land that's directly adjacent to it. So we've had numerous issues for that. So actually during this little area, we needed to, during the construction process of the lake renovation, we needed to cut that L, top of that L off on that elbow so water would drain out that tube. Otherwise we had to pump it. This was a more cost effective mechanism. We left that open afterwards, and we're saying we can better control that silt retention basin with the structure than we can just leaving it open, so that's why we're asking for this. Otherwise, it will essentially pretty flow through, and that's what will protect our investment. Water testing kit, plumbing, Mike, do you want to touch on that?
Sure. So we've got some money budgeted in this FY for water testing kits, and this is just a continuation of that with replacement, if you will, for those kits, or resupply. Yeah.
And are these
not
the
replacement,
ones,
resupply.
Are these being used by conservation staff, or are these the ones that volunteers are doing as part
some
of the
both.
Water? Okay.
Some of both. Yep, yep.
So trail resurfacing limestone trail, that Hickory Grove, the Prairie Rail Trail, Heart of Iowa Nature Trail, and First Woods. We're budgeting $20,000 to resurface the areas of need. We periodically, we have been budgeting around $10,000 a year, and picking at the worst spots. What we're finding is we're falling behind on that. We're asking for an additional $10,000 for total $20,000 this year to pick at some locations. These rains that we're getting now, these massive downpours, and we just get hammered with rain quick, have really been hard on our limestone trails, so that's why we're asking for that amount. Jeanette Bank stabilization, we have 135 feet of Grant Creek that is sloughing off significantly. It's depositing immense amount of soil into our creek there. As leaders in conservation and pushing water quality, we want to stabilize that. Use it as an educational mechanism and obviously just take care of our properties as well as our water. Injections for trees affected by bird oak blight. This is money to buy some equipment in-house and do these injections for ourselves. What we're finding is all of our mature oak trees around the county, most of them are having a couple of different issues. Bird oak blight, and then the follow-up to that is the chestnut borer. We can treat these ourselves in-house significantly cheaper than we can contract someone else to do it. All we have to do is get our certification and the equipment and chemical to do it. So that's what that $2,200 represents is us being able to do that in-house. We'll be able to treat more trees at a significantly less cost. Security lighting at gate for right on the bridge. So as you know, with our Standard Island and our bridge to our Standard Island at Hickory Grove, how do we manage that at nighttime? How do we keep people off the island? How do we keep just keep that area in general safe? We want to put a gate there that will be closed by either rangers or camp posts at a certain time of night, which we haven't really settled on that yet, whether that's 10:30 or 9 or when it gets dark. We'll figure that out yet. But we want to close that gate to keep people off the island and partying at night, waking up our campers, as well as there's obviously safety and liability issues there. And then we want to light that area so we can see what's going on over there.
Like a motion?
We're thinking it'd probably be some sort of solar unit out there, so we don't have to run electricity out there. So essentially, just be a photo cell powered, a solar powered photo cell that runs a light up there. obviously we've locked that light down, so we're not creating a lot of light pollution for the playground. Most of the playground, that's just a maintenance issue. We haven't done that for several years up at Dakin Lake, so to meet our safety standards, we have to have a certain depth there, so we're asking for more to top that and kind of re-flub it under our fall zones.
Thank you.
Questions on those? Brian, do you want to do the kiosk at Hickory as well?
Where
are you at? Reap grounds maintenance.
It's not a reap.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, so part of our lake renovation is in that nice trailer on the lake. We need to get information to people on where they're going, what they can do while they're there, what amenities we offer, where they're at in the park, as well as try to plug in the value of the natural resource and amenity there. So these are interpretive signs and panels to be placed strategically around the park in high-use, high-traffic areas to get information to the public.
And as Lisa said, this is called for out of, we're calling for this out of REAP funds, not general funds.
So there was a significant increase in this item, again, from fiscal 19 to fiscal 20, which you mostly carried into 21. But why did it increase so much? You just more signage all over?
For your grounds maintenance?
Are you talking about this account, Linda?
Or are you talking about grounds maintenance?
440, 20.
The
general fund?
Yes.
It is, yeah.
If you look at back year after year, they do the same type of thing. Linda, they do a list of projects that they want to accomplish every year. So those are going.
So you saw that the projects went up significantly. Okay, that's all.
And the Hickory Grove completion is driving a lot of these. Year we're in and next to it.
Okay, thanks.
Building repairs and maintenance, are you ready for that? So you'll see that this figure is up a little bit, a fair amount up this year over last year. So up 21 over this current FY. Largely to do with the residences at the research park, or the residence at the research park, and then office expansion at Hickory Grove. So those are the specific things, again, that we have in this account like others. And then we also have the basic expenses, so the year-to-year expenses like cleaning and supplies, garbage service, portable toilets, etc. So the reason for the increase there is largely those specific projects this year. So, Ryan, do you want to... talk about
those. The Hickory Grove office expansion, we're not actually expanding the footprint. We're trying to reshuffle our existing footprint to bring that office setting to a better quality standard. Currently, it is heated with radiator heating around the outside of the office. And then we just have a window unit air conditioner in there. Then there's one door that goes directly open out to our shop. What we find is it's very hard with those heating and cooling systems to keep the air clean in that office. Whether we keep that door in between the office and the shop shut all the time and it's sealed at the bottom, we tend to get dust creeps through because there's not any airflow in that office. So computers, printers, all that stuff, we have to clean them often, more often than what you should have to clean in your office setting. Just to keep them functional. So what we'd like to do, we have four staff over there right now. We have not done anything to those offices in my history with conservation, so it's been a long time. What we're trying to do is open up one wall there and actually expand that area so we can have room for our seasonals, to have kind of a central room where we have a microwave, a fridge, and a table for them to sit next week for lunch, versus crowding around the rest of the desk in there. And then also to create two offices for two management positions that are based out of there so they can have closed-door conversations over the phone or with staff. Right now, it's just an open room setting. So if they need to have one-on-one conversations with staff, often they're having to find another location in the park to get credit setting. So we think this shuffle, which also includes the HVAC system, upgrading the heating and cooling system over there, as well as the shop expansion. Essentially what we're doing is we're reshuffling that footprint over there. We want to, we think this sets us up for the next 10 years, at least as far as what staff needs will be over there, for existing staff, and then also sets us up just better for the future, I guess, for what our current needs are out of that office.
So, Ryan, did you have any conversations with facilities?
We did, yeah. So we brought IT out there as well as Joey. To make sure that we put a plan together and sign these numbers to that plan. We wanted to truth it with them and make sure that what we thought we could do would be functional and also work for our community infrastructure standpoint. We got the blessing from both of them that their plan was solid and well vetted. We also got a couple different quotes on the HVAC system just to make sure that A, we're being thorough, B, we're being efficient, and then making sure our numbers are
the current, as Brian mentioned, the current heating system out there is a water heater that's in the restroom that pumps the hot water through radiant lines along the floor, a line along the floor, which is pretty inefficient. And so this would be putting it's a little higher price on that HVAC system, but this is a heat pump system. So again, more energy efficiency. This would be a high efficient heating and cooling system.
So I just want to check my numbers here, see if this is right. But between the grounds maintenance and I know like grounds maintenance REAP and then the Friends of Conservation here, but just in those three line items, we've got $79,500 worth of items for Hickory Grove. So does that sound about right? So $80,000.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. I haven't done the math on combining those lines.
Okay.
So, Loris, I understand. I would agree that number is staggering when you say it like that. What I would like to give some historical context to is that park was held very. There was a lot of park improvements for many, many years over there under a previous regime of management. And what we're trying to do, and you guys are obviously well aware of with all the changes that are going on there, we're trying to get it back up to a standard. We expect this to hopefully even off here soon on some of these smaller park improvement projects. But we still have a little way to go as far as getting us where we want to reach.
Okay.
So
sure.
We're kind of playing catch up, I feel like.
Okay.
And this be in the CIP instead of in this budget. Okay. I just wonder because you put those three, the office expansion, HVAC, and shop expansion, they're considered separate projects. Below the 25.
But they don't meet the threshold? Is that what it is?
You put them all together, they exceed 25.
Well, you put them all together, they exceed 25. But the way the thing reads is individual projects.
Okay.
Yeah, so the office expansion and the shop expansion is just shuffling what is in that existing footprint. And those would be all in-house efforts. And then that HVAC system, obviously, we would have to contract out.
I would still argue it's still all one project, but that's kind of as moving forward in the next year, maybe better instructions to people about where some items go, you know, whether it be IT or whatever. Okay, thanks. All right. Okay.
Moving on to the South River side, that is one of the houses that we have at the Environmental Learning Quarter, the Ranger Residence. We have a perimeter tile issue on the corner of that house, and what we're finding is it continues to put water in a partially finished basement for bedroom. So the Rangers continue having to pull up carpet and wet and dry back, and he sealed the walls and everything inside that he's done. He shaped the exterior or the ground away from the house. He's running downspouts away from the house. So we've done everything that we can do without actually having to get into the real issue. We're still with these rings, we're still seeing the same issue. So this is to actually activate the corner of the house, seal the foundation, put in an additional perimeter tile, which we think will fully take care of the issue.
Okay. Isn't this the one that came along with Telk?
Yes. For the free houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the free houses. Yeah.
Yeah. It would not be appropriate if I couldn't say that.
And that's putting it kindly in. Oriole Ridge Lodge patio. So we've done some, we redid the inside, sanded down walls, replaced some ceiling, some windows. It looks really sharp in there, replaced some doors. What we want to do now is open up one side of that wall and actually have a patio out to the lake. We think that will increase our use and reservations at that location. So we think this project will pay for itself pretty quick. But what we're trying to do is just put a patio in between that building and the lake overlooking the lake. So an improvement to keep that facility going for several more years.
And then someday maybe we'll get restrooms out there.
I know. So I filed last night about restrooms, okay? I made a remark in the CIP plan about, you know, restrooms at Telk, okay? Until everybody pointed me out to me that restrooms are nice, especially if you're biking long distances. And I went, okay, never mind. Right, so now I know we have several restrooms out there. I know. So you may continue to tease me on that, Mike, okay?
That's one of the number one complaints here. Your directions where you're walking.
Yeah.
You can walk on the outside of the room. It's just fair.
Any questions on building repairs and maintenance?
Good explanation. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Equipment rent and maintenance. This is essentially just the copier upgrade, copier slash printer upkeep, if you will. Two locations, one at the Conservation Center, and then we have another unit at Hickory Grove. Questions on that? Contractual labor. This is static on the campground attendants, so our campground hosts. That's a small fee that we pay them. Then expect their services in return. And then we've got, and again, those are kind of the ongoing items year to year. And then we've got a couple specific ones here in this line as well, and that is for hiring Youth Conservation Corps to do some habitat work for us. And this has been really a carryover for the last, golly, 6, 7, 8 years even, that we've, every year we hire this group to do some habitat work for us. And so this is this year's proposal for where they work and how many days. Questions on those?
Just the re-estimated budget in 2020, is that was so high, is that Hickory?
Yeah, the 227
for contractual labor.
That's the areas.
Ross for study.
Yeah, that ends in FY20.
Okay.
We're supposed to.
Yeah.
And then we had some more one-time expenses in this current FY as well. We had $20,000 in there for some fence repairs, some culvert work at $24,000, some ditch work at $24,000. So there have been some various.
So just several big ticket items here. Yeah. Okay.
That were one time.
Okay. Just curious. Thank you.
Any other questions on that? Then moving down, contract labor, trust, out of the trust fund, no expenses there for FY21. Taxes, leases, easements, that's just a small amount there that every year we pay by arrangement, by agreement, we pay the taxes on certain portions of private lands that they might give us recreational easements on or use thereof. Maybe it's a management or it's in a use agreement, et cetera, but we pay the taxes on some of that. Okay, equipment and machinery. Well, we were fortunate last year. You see, in FY19, we had $143,000. Last year, we said, you know what, we didn't need to replace anything. Mm-hmm. This year, we're saying they're asking to replace some more equipment. And so, Ryan, do you want to take us through those as well?
So our Batwing mower would be used for a lot of large-scale mowing for prairie restorations. We have a lot of some new property acquisitions that we're trying to start up. 15-foot Batwing mower, the original one was from 2000, so we're asking to replace that. We're having a lot of band-aids on it, just keeping it going, which is costing us. We think it makes sense to replace that one. The truck, this is to replace an existing truck in our fleet that has caused us a lot of maintenance issues. And so essentially this is to take one of our Ranger trucks and make that the fleet truck. We're replacing a fleet truck. We're going to take that Ranger truck, make it a fleet truck, and then this is a new truck for the Ranger. Which we think doing that swap gives both the new truck and the Ranger truck the best long-term value. UTV for the McFarland unit, that's just replacing our John Deere Gator that we use for everything from going around the park and doing maintenance and cleanup to chemical application, running a rig out of the back of it, or also prescribed fire, running a rig out of the back of it.
Did you take this over to Telk last year? Is this the one that Jerry Keyes, drove with me in it?
Probably the green one.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We're just having a lot of maintenance, small maintenance issues with it, which it's used almost every day. Heavily used. So,
it should have been replaced prior, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Jerry and I had fun.
those machines are valuable, they're operational, they're so handy, so we get a lot of miles out of them. The mower trailer for Hickory Grove, I would disregard that mileage next to it. I think we got some misinformation from a staff member that made it on here. But the mower trailer for Hickory Grove is a very old mower trailer. We're reshuffling as we continue to add properties to our operations. We're reshuffling which unit is managing which locations and the sake of efficiency and effectiveness of management. To do that, the Hickory Grove Center, we feel they're going to be taking on some more properties that seem to be mowing. We need to take place at, so we want to provide them a trailer so they can get their equipment from Hickory Grove to these outer areas and mow. So, particularly the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail, the mowed trail right next to the trail. So, historically that has been split between both units. Now we'll be able to take care of that whole town section. So this is an ask to allow them to be more efficient, I guess. 14-foot dump trailer. This is a multi-use piece of equipment, so this allows us to haul more rock or logs, trees, tree debris, shrubs, mulch from site to site, and also this trailer will allow us to put our skid steer into it, so it allows us more versatility. So if we have a tractor that needs to go to an outer area, we only have one trailer that can handle that. So then that trailer's out, our skid steer has to stay wherever it's at. We can't. So this gives us more versatility. It's also a multifunctional trailer. A flail mower to replace existing one. So essentially a shoulder mower, which we use all of our parks a couple times a year, as well as the Heart of Nature Trail, to cut those debris and the taller prairie grasses from hanging over our trails, cut them back off the edges of the slopes. Salt spreader to replace our existing one at McFarland. We do all of our snow removal there, and then we need to obviously salt the facility for safe access for the public and staff. McFarland UTV mower. This is a front mount unit that will go on our Bobcat UTV, which allows us to mow areas that you don't want to take a traditional mower, so whether it's the through the trails at McFarland Park, for example. We think this piece of equipment is better suited for that than, say, our front mount mowers, our 1445s, the terrain where it undulates a lot, or you're getting on some slopes and stuff, is really hard on those existing mowers that we have. And then the skid steer forks, this is to replace our existing forks that we have at the shop. They're a different, older model that only work on our tractor. This unit goes on one tractor and two of our skid steers, so it's a more functional unit. We need new forks because the old ones are pretty beat up, and then we'll have to replace them.
Questions on equipment? And I need to clarify what I said earlier in looking at this. In 20, so in this current fiscal year, a year ago at this point, we had a replacement of a car and maybe just the car.
The car and the grapple.
And the board at that point said, you know, replace them out of 19. And so those, instead of hitting the 20 budget, were expensed out of the 19 budget. So that's why the 20 is at a zero.
I'd like to just ask about, you know, the replacement truck, okay? So we're moving the 2013 Chevy Silverado.
That's the Ranger truck.
To become the fleet truck.
Correct.
All right. And we're retiring the GMC. It's going goodbye wherever it ends up.
Correct.
All right.
We'll use that as a trade-in for the GMC.
Okay. So is this GMC fully loaded, or is it a pretty stripped-down model?
It's a very stripped-down model with crank windows
And that's still
for it. It's gotten all the goody out of it. So it was previously a Ranger truck. Equipment was taken out of that and put into a different Ranger truck. Then it was our Ranger aid and seasonal vehicle. So we took that law enforcement equipment out. It's nickel and dime enough left and right.
Okay.
It costs a lot of maintenance, and it's probably earned its course for what we need it for.
Okay. So the $40,000 then includes purchase of a new stripped down basic model plus any replacement equipment?
So that's for a new Ranger truck and a little bit of that. So we're going to carry over as much of that Ranger equipment as we can. We do have some older lights they're hard to see. They're not the new LEDs that are high visibility that we would want to put on a Ranger truck. So that 40 represents the Ranger truck as well as a few lights, and then getting that equipment installed in existing equipment.
So it's kind of a complete package, replacement package at $40,000. What I don't mean new all stuff, but we're
correct.
Not going to go down and find another
$8,000. No, the truck's probably going to run around 30 is what we've seen in our estimates, and that $10,000 is to have the Ranger truck and the contractor put it, change over that law enforcement equipment and put in the new higher visibility lights that we should have.
Thank you.
Any other questions on equipment, machine? Conservation land acquisition. Let's see. So in this year, you'll see some expenses for that Sleepy Hollow addition that we talked about. And Ryan, are you comfortable with that one? You want to do that $10,000?
Sorry, I'm not sure. The Sleepy Hollow addition. So, I guess, are you talking about just the acquisition portion of that? What do you need to know about it?
Yep, what that $10,000 is.
This is going towards land acquisition, right?
Mm-hmm. This is
not towards restoration.
Right.
Or you
want to
know
the rest of your that property has already been acquired.
Okay, so this is for the restoration effort.
Correct.
Okay. So what we'd like to do there, as Mike has already alluded to, we want to open up a few lanes in there to allow trails to the hunting line locations. And then from those locations, outside of those locations, we want to continue to do some vegetation work within the forested river bottom there. And then the open area that has historically been alfalfa, we want to put like a shelter belt and a garden, Highway 69, from that property a little bit to create more of a visible, a natural barrier there, I would say. Make the property a little bit more private if we can, by having it open. And so we're talking different variations of trees and shrubs and then tall grass for restoration and interior that, and that's what that $10,000 restoration efforts of develop that property, so how we want to use it.
Shouldn't that, if you're doing restoration, they'll be in a different line item versus land acquisition?
That's what confused me when
you Yeah, well, yeah. That's,
yeah. Do you move that to...
Well, yeah, I guess I want to... So it looks like it's showing $10,000 in the current year, in FY20, as land acquisition for that property. Is that what was is that what it was purchased for?
No.
It was purchased for more than that.
It was already purchased.
No, the property was purchased for more than $10,000, so it's $53,000. Memory serves me correctly. I think we split that up among different funding sources. We used ETF and we used some trust fund, et cetera. I think we used $10,000 general fund on that, and what that's so that's what that $10,000 in FY20 is. In 21, yeah, and this could well be moved.
Yeah, because when you it could well be, but when you pay for it, I'll say, wait, this is not for land acquisition, so it shouldn't
right.
go here. So,
right.
Yeah. It's going to go under, for lack of anything better, buildings and equipment.
Grounds maintenance?
Grounds maintenance.
So it's not a capital, is what we're saying, right?
Correct.
There's some maintenance category. What's the WIX? Is that the same thing? It says
no.
No?
No.
What's it?
Well, yes. No, you're right, Linda.
The parking lot.
That's for parking and signage.
Correct. That and should be moved as well.
FY 20 then was the acquisition, the ETF money, right?
Right.
That needs to be moved as well.
No, the 185 needs to stay there. The
no, right. But
the
I'm just
5,000
saying
needs to be moved.
The
right.
5,000.
Mm-hmm. And then the outside is land acquisition.
Correct.
As would be the Army Corps of Engineers. So 15,000 out to grounds maintenance.
I moved it to 440.
Both of them?
Yes.
440?
Mm-hmm. Grounds maintenance.
Okay.
Okay, that clears that up.
And the Osheim piece at 17,125, that should be ETF.
Oh, that is ETF as well?
Correct.
Okay, so that comes.
So it's rebudgeted, so they did it right. I want to talk about the land acquisition for the that tract. In the capital improvement, we have $36,000 in the current year that we discussed and have moved. So it's going to be coming out of conservation capital. The Conservation Acquisition Capital Projects Fund is my understanding from our conversation of capital improvement. So that 36.
I think that 36. What we'd like to do with that is take that out of ETF as well.
So you want it to come out of the general fund, and
that's in this FY.
Well, we're going to have to put it in this FY because it's not accounted for in this FY at this point in time.
Correct. Yeah.
And
so not pay for it out of the capital.
Correct.
That's for the cultural, that's the 36 for the cultural review. And we talked about that, because if you did that out of ETF, you could get that done faster. And then what I had, and maybe I was wrong, but when we got to the 46, I had on my copy crossed out conservation reserve there. I thought that was coming out of general.
That's what they're showing.
I think we had talked about that out of general, but that's my recollection.
That's what we got to see.
The 36 was what, during the CIP, my understanding was going to come out of the conservation fund, acquisition fund.
Correct.
Fund 68,000.
The 36.
Yes. So let me
check.
No, it's okay. Let me chat just briefly about this Army Corps expenses. The 36 is for to do the disposal. So the 36 is funding necessary to do work as a prerequisite to us taking title to that land. The 46 is expenses that we anticipate in order for us to dispose of that land, a portion of that land. This represents surveys that we'll have to do because we'll need to do some parcel splits. So our goal is to, again, take this 197 acres that we'll be receiving and essentially transition the resources in that land over to the Greenbelt. So it's hard to describe that. That might be selling some land outright. Some of the 197 will probably just sell outright. Some of it will be done with a land swap. We'll dispose of it through a land swap for other property along the Greenbelt. So it's really primarily those two things. We're either going to swap it somehow or we're going to sell it. Some of it we'll keep. And so that's the final disposition of that. It'll be different arrangements with the different tracts and the current tenants on that land. So the Army Corps has leased that 197 acres, not all of it, but most of it they've leased, and some of it's in current ag production. And so we would work with the tenants on that, who are, I'm going to say maybe all of them are also adjoining landowners. We'll work with them to come up with a swap or a purchase or whatever the arrangement might be that we come up with. So that's the genesis of the 46, is costs necessary to get that. So there will be, eventually, there will be income that comes into this as well. So some of this land that's maybe higher value ag land that we have no desire to maintain, might as well, we'd like to get that onto tax rolls into private ownership. And if that means that particular person, that tenant, does not have any land to offer that we're interested in, so no land swap, we would just sell it outright at market rates. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So this project is going to go on for at least the foreseeable future, next 5 years anyway. So it's still a preliminary figure. I have met with our auditor's office, Scott Wall, in the auditor's office and planning and development office to go over kind of some conceptual ideas on what would be required with land divisions, etc. None of them that we anticipate would have to go through a subdivision process, but could be accommodated through lot line adjustment or plat of survey. So lower cost items that way. But that's what the 46 is. It's not associated with the acquisition of that land. So if we don't acquire it in FY21, then we're not going to have that expense.
Think positive.
What's that?
Think positive.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why, other than just hope. But
yeah.
Thanks for the explanation.
Yep. All right. On other capital projects, buildings and equipment. Now this is again one-time capital projects. The first one is Hickory Grove Park, overlay asphalt road and ramps, and you've heard about that in the CIP work session. So any questions on that? Okay. Next one is McFarland Park Lake Restoration. You've heard about that in the CIP work session as well. Management plan and in lake design. Any questions on that? Part of Iowa Nature Trail. This is pave that section of the trail, and again, this is out of the CIP work session. Pave that section of trail between the High Trestle Trail and R38. Questions on that? The next would be the Heart of Iowa, again, Nature Trail. In Slater, and some kiosk signage designed for that. This does not meet the threshold of CIP project inclusion. So it's at $13,000, and this is to do some interpretive signage, kiosk, etc., at the trailhead there in Slater, which is right behind the school.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old trailhead there right now that is in very bad condition. And needs to be replaced.
So we've got a great opportunity to also market with that Central Iowa Trails Network and brand part of Iowa Nature Trail as part of that Central Iowa Trails Network. So as you know from last night, we completed the construction of that trail there.
Mm-hmm.
This is that second piece that needs to happen to give it that identity and a major hub location.
Great for the next one. Next one is the McCallsburg improvements to the Prairie Rail Trail. Now, this is a very malleable project, as you well know, particularly as a result of last night. This was to be. Our goal here was to work cooperatively with the city and assist in an overall uplift project that they could possibly apply for a REAP grant for. That's what this is, and you guys are familiar with that. So we do need to do some work there for trail improvements. There's some limestone that needs to be added to and that kind of thing. So up to you, of course, we could conceivably accomplish that limestone work out of the other $20,000 that was already mm-hmm. chatted about. Again, up to you on this $25,000. Again, part of a larger project that we anticipated buy-in from the city on, which we could still revisit with the city, but at the moment.
So, Mike, I remember last year, okay, that the hope was that the plans were we put $10,000 in the budget, right, for some prairie and to bring some
yep.
gravel in, okay?
Yep.
So the city had said, hey, can we get the rock from, to give you guys background, the city said, can we get the rock from secondary roads, or get secondary roads to hollow in limestone, and we can get equipment to spread it, and that was not acceptable to Darren or Mike. Okay, which is fine, all
right?
So then the request was, can we get this done by July? And that was not possible. But it never got done at all. And that's when we were at 10,000 to lay some prairie seed and just to get some rock over. So now none of that was done. We're talking about here headed into this spring, still fiscal year 20, and then into 21. And the upping to 25,000, does that, first of all, does that include the 10,000 we've already promised them? And we promised them that pretty much out of general funds. I mean, we budgeted for it. So they're still waiting for that work to be done, and that was not reliant upon them at all.
It wasn't reliant upon them in when we conceived of that.
Mm-hmm.
When we started talking about a REAP grant application, we started thinking about, well, we do have
this. Who would be we at this point, please?
I'm sorry, what's that?
We, as in you guys internally.
And we met, so Nancy and I met with the mayor and a couple of city council members.
Okay.
On talking about a potential REAP grant application. And we, I guess at that point, we're thinking that money could go toward a project as a match to make that grant application stronger.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Part of it was prairie, part of it was limestone, etc. Through vetting out that project or that potential REAP grant application, another community member, previous council member, brought some other significant questions to bear with the validity or, I guess, with what that project was. And one of those was that we had a number of years ago attempted to do a prairie restoration there, and it was met with strong opposition from the community. The perception of unwanted vermin, you know, the creepy crawlies that come out of the prairie.
Instead, I remember now.
And so we said, so I said, well, if this hasn't come up with the council, that really didn't come up with the council in any of our discussions mm-hmm. with the council, but I felt like I didn't want to move forward with that until we had a little bit more thorough community vetting of it. And so that's why I put that on hold.
Is that going to be inside city limits in McCallsburg?
It is in the city limits.
It is in the city limits. So that was.
And so that's where it sat, and
okay.
I'm hoping that we could get some more communication, and you know the result of that thus far. And so that's why we haven't done that work yet.
Okay. Thank you.
But what I'm hearing you say is you could get that work done within your other line items.
Correct.
So you don't need
to do the
limestone. Correct.
And you've got some other seeding money.
I'll give you some of the other limestone on the Prairie Rail Trail. That other money we have will not stretch between the heart of the Prairie Rail Trail, Birdswood.
Very
so
still.
You can take care of the main spots that have the issues, or you can kind of do an overlay with most of these sections and even overlay.
There's still some urban renewal funds sitting out there, and I don't know where you're at on when you plan on spending those. We've had the conversation numerous years. You plan on, you had to use the grant dollars first.
Yeah, so you're talking about the Zeering portion,
okay.
So our paving portion
okay.
There on the Prairie Rail Trail. So we're anticipating those urban renewal dollars get used in that paving.
Okay.
That will, knock on wood, be completed this fiscal.
Do we still have the $10,000 in fiscal year 20 though?
Yeah.
So
correct.
You could still
correct.
Take that $10,000 that's already budgeted in 20, combine it with your $20,000 new or whatever.
So I spoke to that last night too, to our public member that came to that meeting.
Good.
We plan on the high use areas coming out of Roland, which does get us significant amount of use compared to the rest of the fairground.
Yeah.
Those lines don't portion use some attention. That's what we're trying to dedicate to.
So those dollars being the $10,000? So if they've gone away.
Not to say, we haven't spent those dollars yet. We can revisit that if we need to.
So what if we drop to 25 to 10? Okay, so that's the commitment that we kind of made to them, 10 in fiscal year 21, not the 10 that's already budgeted that you want to give to Roland. But let's just go 10 here, or you can look at it. We're giving 10 to Roland.
Not necessarily to the community, it's
to the CRIP. Yeah, you're right.
Correct.
Sorry about that. Thank you. So I'm not
understanding why we're adding 10 here. What I just heard, it sounded like the money was there.
Well, it's not. Well, it's the other way to look at it.
What he's saying.
Correct.
I would like
to dedicate my estimation for my staff and observing trailers around the county is that $10,000 should be spent as our highest priority is the prairie rail trail right now. Out of the one that sees the most use and currently needs that attention.
Okay.
But
like I said, we can revisit that. We haven't spent those dollars yet.
Or we can do $10,000 in fiscal year 21, okay, this summer, right? And instead of saying McCallsburg improvements, cross out McCallsburg and go Roland. Then we've got the $10,000 still assigned in fiscal year 20 to McCallsburg, portion of the Prairie Rail Trail, okay? And we're going to go ahead and do $10,000 instead of $25,000 to the Roland portion of the Prairie Rail Trail. We pick up the $10,000, Ryan,
in 21.
In 21.
Correct.
Does that work, or do you want to flip them?
I'm confused. I
would prefer to flip them based on use numbers.
All right.
Use numbers about Roland are much higher than on
the Okay.
So what do we do? I missed something. I was trying to absorb some other information. I missed what you were saying that you wanted to do. There is $10,000 in 20 that was going to go to McCallsburg, but what I also heard is some McCallsburg Prairie Rail Trail. What I also heard was you were going to do some of the Prairie Rail Trail limestone with the other item you had elsewhere.
What's
the general maintenance? We had $20,000
for limestone.
That's for several trails, correct?
But some of that was for the Prairie Rail itemized in there,
correct.
So some of that goes to Prairie Rail. Now,
correct.
Talk about the $10,000 that was the so-called promised McCallsburg money and what you said you wanted to do with that instead.
I guess I didn't look at it as allocated to those communities. This trail needs this attention. Let's hit the highest, use most trouble spots.
Okay.
So it's kind of an interpretation, I guess.
Okay, I was going off what Laura's claimed that was promised to McCallsburg.
It was promised to the Prairie Rail Trail part of McCallsburg.
It was promised to Prairie Rail Trail.
Along with part of that money was for seed, prairie seed, because Mike had come back up. So I understand what Mike said previously. Maybe we don't want to go ahead and out of that $10,000 original kind of discussion with people in the McCallsburg area. Okay. All right. Maybe we don't want to go ahead and do the prairie part. We just want to
we got you back.
The limestone part. Because Mike's got a good point. If we start to put seed out there and then everybody starts screaming because I didn't hear about the mowing, Mike, and I heard about the mowing last year. But so I hear what you're saying. Roland needs it first to the trail. And maybe then we allocate a few more thousand in fiscal year 21 for limestone to that portion of the trail that's around and through McCallsburg. And then everything else waits when it comes related to the McCallsburg discussion until they get together and decide what
should we change that 25,000 to 5,000 and call it limestone?
Is that good for you, Ryan, number-wise?
And then you can do more at the Prairie Rail.
Out of the other 20. that we talked about earlier.
Out of your other 20 that's elsewhere. You just got 5,000 more limestone with higher expectation on Parade Rail Trail.
That's fine.
So five.
And then you'll still use the other
five. Right. And then
instead of the 25,
you get it. You're welcome.
And then instead of saying McCallsburg improvement, we're just saying limestone.
Prairie Rail Trail
improvement. Trail improvement.
Yes.
Trail improvement, yeah.
Stop there, and if there's any seeding to be done, maybe that can, if there's some agreement somewhere about yes, some more prairie seeding would be good. You could look maybe at the resources you have to start off with. I know Joe's got plenty of seed.
Yep.
Cool.
I'll give you a bag. Mine.
I'll give you a bag.
I'll just take it right up there. Spread it out myself. Okay. So we're done with buildings and equipment. But we're on the hip could go septic next.
Yes.
Explain where we are. Where we might be.
Oh, golly. As you know, this has been a project that's been, we've been trying to make this happen for years. In the best, so we think that a connection to Colo is in the best interest of the county financially and from a land stewardship, environmental stewardship standpoint. We know that we can't continue to use the existing, we know that we can't add to the load on the existing gravity sewer system, septic system at Hickory Grove Park. We know we need to make changes. That is holding us back on other improvements to the park. So we know we need to get that done. We have budgeted various amounts over the last year, few years, with the idea that we always think we're at that place where we, we always think we're there, we can get it done, and then we can't. Something changes, and we can't. So this FY in 20, we had $450,000 budgeted, because that was our latest cost opinion, which is dated now, but that was our latest cost opinion on doing the connection from the park to Twin Anchors, which is where we would connect with existing lines that go to Colo. That wasn't able to come to fruition for this FY. So instead, we have reestimated 50, and you're familiar with this from the CIP discussions, but, so instead we've reestimated 50 of that 450 to go toward consulting fees, engineering fees for a septic system that does not connect to Colo. We have recent efforts right now to reestablish communications. We have reestablished communications with the city and are continuing to try to go down that road. So we still hope that we can go that route. You know, what we've brought forward in this budget is to bring it up to $700,000, which is the low end estimate on the on the fairly dated estimate to do an in park wastewater management system, so a three tiered lagoon system in park instead of going to Colo. That cost estimate is up as high as 1.1, and so, you know, it's still a stab in the dark. We know that we need to get that if we can't go to Colo. So number one is to re-enter those discussions with Colo. If that falls unsuccessful again, then we need to go to use the $50,000 for consulting fees and engineering fees. Margaret's been assisting with this. And she would manage that contract, if you will. and coordinate that on the county's end. She's the expert on that, not me. But she would do that. But if we, and then we would think that maybe in 21 we'd be prepared to move forward with a construction project in park to accommodate the sewer. Does that make sense? It's kind of the way it's laid out. Mm-hmm. So the 700, it's still, it's an estimate. We would need to, now I have restarted communications with Central Iowa Water, now called Iowa's Regional Utility Alliance or Association. The individual that I was working with is no longer employed by them, but their team is familiar with the project and familiar with the discussions over the years, and so we'll get that restarted. The cost estimates they came up with, and they hired a separate engineer to come up with those. So we need to get those numbers re-estimated, but I'm hesitant to re-estimate them right now until we know what's going to happen with COLO. Because I feel like we've had three re-estimations already, and I don't want to add another one until we need to.
That I'm just going to make a statement real quick. We are putting this in as a capital project, basically using the camping fees from all over to pay for this. And after this assumption of 700,000 and 550,000 this year, it looks like we're still going to have about 240,000 in that fund. So, FYI.
So, again, yeah, this is not general fund money. This is camping revenue money is what we're calling for here. Any questions on that?
And you've been in touch with COLO to try to get to a meeting soon. Do we have a date?
I don't have a date yet, no.
Okay. Laura, thanks for starting that conversation out. Mm-hmm. It's really good that we have this potentially option again.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. Quickly.
And from the Conservation Board standpoint, our past chair, Craig Myers, who lives out near there, is still wanting to be involved. I think his quote the other night was, sewage is his life.
I'll remember that.
Okay.
He said it with a smile on his
face.
But he's been involved with the negotiations.
Sounded like he had been at several meetings. He remembered some of the things that the engineers had said, and said, let's get that engineer back and say those same things again. And he's got a real good sense of where we need to go there, I think. So that'll be good to have him there. Okay. Next.
Is that it? So then moving forward, buildings and equipment, and this is out of trust fund.
Okay. Good.
This is the revenue, so this is the expense of the trust fund revenue that we saw on the revenue side of the budget.
So what we're collecting for FY20, what we collected revenue,
correct,
FY20 from partners, will pay in FY21.
Correct. So it's a lag, if you will, a 1 year lag. The FY20 went toward the beach house, and then we had planned on and had been soliciting the FY20 the FY20 income. We had planned on and had been soliciting that as contributions toward the cabin at Aikens Lake. And so this represents what has thus far been communicated to spend that in 21 on the cabin. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thinking you were going to build the camera.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Right. Right. So we need to keep that expense of that partner's money in the budget. It's just that the destination of that at the moment, we're not sure. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So we're just saying we need it as a placeholder until, you know,
right.
Well, they can't
right.
spend it unless it's budgeted, so I mean
right.
like that.
Yeah.
Questions? No? Next, building and equipment, and this is out of the REAP fund. Now, this includes some includes a vault toilet. We like talking about toilets, don't we? It includes a vault restroom at West Peterson and some park entrance signage at West Peterson as well. And this we're planning to spend this out of the again out of the REAP fund. So again, not tax asking dollars here. Next for this FY21 would be the Heart of Iowa Trail.
This is good to line items because there's nothing budgeted. Correct?
Yeah, there's nothing for
FY21. Oh, okay. There's nothing budgeted. Can we talk? Watershed improvement, Hickory Grove.
That will be complete.
Uh huh. However, we've reestimated at 581, and I think I've I think we're over 700,000 now. So do we need to probably we're gonna have to either amend or well, I know we're gonna have to amend, but we're gonna have to reestimate that up, aren't we?
We signed a contract for 942,000 with DNR, which was 25% of the overall project. And
right.
at that point, we said we used what we had budgeted, and then we add to it, and we split. The difference, which was 380,000, we split it 50-50, general fund and to trust fund or conservation reserve fund, one of the conservation funds.
Okay, so either way, we're going to have to reestimate some stuff here because right now, I don't.
But there was one of them that I had talked to you about, the one of the half, the 190.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to go into as an amendment
it
in
didn't.
FY20, and it didn't. It was one of those where there's communication on my part of where we did an amendment out in April of 19.
Right, but we didn't put it in the 21 budget because the budget, our 20 budget was already done.
I thought, okay, since I had made a note that that we were going to move it, that she would automatically do it, found out no, I needed to make sure that those got in there. So
I'm going to put a note for us to talk because, I need
but
to.
But I think it's still there.
Things you'll talk about that and figure it out.
But you're very confident that we don't have to have anything budgeted for after July 1st.
Correct. Okay.
We need to find more money.
Next.
We better even have the water in that lake by July.
We better.
And we don't need to find any more money.
Right.
Correct.
Then let's go on.
Heart of Iowa Trail. So this is cost for phase two of the paving, which again we talked about in CIP session, but this would be paving that section from Trail Ridge Park on 560th Street in Huxley over to the Skunk River in Cambridge. So this is paving that section. This we have received, we talked about it on the revenue side already. We received two grants for it, the balance of which we would take out of the Energy Trust Fund.
And that balance on the Energy Trust Fund should be 347. I have noted there we needed to change the number, and I forgot to change the EFT number.
So, look at just the two phases of this project, and the money is, we've leveraged it pretty well.
Yes,
we have.
Lots
of other answers.
Oh, my.
Thanks for that.
And we can help you here. So you're going over to the bridge. Is that all right? Then the bridge crosses where? Is that right by 210 or is that?
Oh, no. I don't have a map.
Is it north
here.
Or south?
It's north of 210.
Okay.
Right.
Just
it's right.
A visual.
So the trail kind of goes along the south side of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then the river.
The southeast part of the city.
Yeah, exactly. The river's on the east side. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
I just needed
that.
If you're interested, there's a hike going on up there tomorrow at 1:30 with the Outdoor Alliance meeting at Keeper City Hall.
Well,
perfect.
Thank you. I'll bring along my cane and my shoes, and I'll start early, Nancy. And I'll take
care of
the
clothes.
Okay.
Anything else?
Well, I have
a question. Are we done?
So the discussion of the personnel.
Personnel, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the coordinator, watershed.
Sure.
Watershed coordinator.
So, I know that Linda and Loris remember this discussion from last year at this point, but, you know, we did the countywide watershed assessment. That's been completed. We did the watershed assessment implementation plan that's been completed. And both of those, if you will, kind of set out a recipe for moving forward or a plan for moving forward with water quality improvements in the county. We have instituted a water quality working group that is comprised of department heads for departments that have direct responsibility relating to water or county services. And so Linda has been the board liaison on that committee as well. And so we're moving forward with those implementation items. Remember, the stormwater ordinance was one of the items out of the implementation plan, and there have been several. Water quality monitoring plan is another one out of there, and there have been a number of projects coming out of that. Last year at this point, we requested that we add one FTE that would be a watershed coordinator and to coordinate those efforts, if you will, both in-house and to work with landowners, et cetera, and other agencies, et cetera, to implement our implementation plan. That position wasn't funded. And I think was a good move. I think that we've been able to get some time under our belts, and the other departments are, you know, in the county are more familiar with what's with the charter, if you will, on it, and this working group is doing exceptional work and coming along really well together, and I think that I brought this forward to the working group at the last meeting and had this discussion about a watershed coordinator there, and talked about it in the terms of a position that would do a lot of the groundwork with implementing that plan, and would not just be a conservation, would not just work under the conservation portions of that plan, but would assist all the departments in that plan. The group, and Linda excused herself from this portion of the meeting, but the group then took a vote on whether or not they supported that plan to have a one full-time position in the conservation budget that would assist with the overall plan. And the group would unanimously supported that effort.
And that was the actual motion in the conservation, under conservation. Or was it
in the working group, in the watershed working
right.
group.
Right, but was the motion to have a watershed coordinator, or was it to have a watershed coordinator under conservation?
Under conservation, that supported the entire county, at all of the county efforts. Does that make sense? So
I'm hearing it. I mean, I'm acknowledging the words.
Yeah. So it would be the plan that we're bringing forward, essentially, and that is that that person reports to conservation, but yet works hand in hand with the other departments as well as conservation. And so that is what was supported through that group. And like I said, Linda stepped out when that vote was taken. Actually, stepped out before we started discussing that, I believe. We're bringing that forward again as a request from the Conservation Board and with the backing of the or the support of the Water Quality Working Group. I don't know if you have any questions on that, but that's what we're bringing back forward.
The job description is in last year's budget, but I guess I brought some copies in case, if it's easier for some.
I'll jump right to the heart of my previous question. My concern is that going through conservation, and that's nothing against you, Mike, or whatever. It's more about you have a separate board. And I see tanglement there. I look at what happened with the Dakin's Lake Cabin, and a comment was that made in the public that locked the supervisors into what we could do related to the Dakin's Lake Cabin, for one thing. So I'd like to see the position in itself. I think there's validity with it, but I'm thinking that it needs to report through the Board of Supervisors, especially since on the working group there are several other people who report through the Board of Supervisors, through the Board of Health, I mean, and whatever. I think the Board of Supervisors in some capacity, and I don't mean necessarily right to the Board of Supervisors, but I'm not comfortable with it going to conservation with you having your own board and that being pointed out occasionally.
Explain to me again, as the board chair, explain to me how this relates to the Dakin's Cabin.
Because a remark was made in the paper. I didn't, as a board member, board of supervisors member, I didn't even know how much the new estimate was. And there was a comment in the paper. There was an article about you guys that said this would be financially irresponsible to do that cabin. I felt it really locked us in. I did not know what the dollar amount was. It turned out it was double, but But that comment was made, and that was a charged statement that made, for us to have funded the Dakin's Lake Cabin at that point with the things that I believe the previous board had wanted out of it, the solar, et cetera, but for us to even take a look at allocating more resources to it or considering that $500,000. I'm not saying I'd have gone that way, but I'd have gone lower. Last time I talked to Mike, that we were up to about $420,000 or whatever, that comment was made, and I felt that limited our options.
I think that the conservation board member who made that comment was simply talking about the deliberations that the conservation board had made and why they decided not to further it on, and were letting us know that. I didn't.
It backed up in the corner. Okay, sorry.
I didn't disagree. I disagreed then, and I disagree now about that backing us into a corner. I thought it was being very fiscally responsible. And I wouldn't look at maybe that one thing and say that's a reason that this shouldn't be within the conservation department. I did have the concern. I did not, as Mike said, I stepped out because I thought where this is going, I will be voting on this position at some point of this request. So I decided that I did not want to be part of the watershed group. And as you were talking about that, I did have, you know, I do have the concern that the position, if we approve it, take its direction from that group, which is taking its direction from the watershed assessment report that a previous board put so much money into, and that's why I said we should have the working group, because we weren't going to do all of that good work and just let it sit on the shelf. I feel like we have made progress with that group. I do think it needs more staffing. Leanne has been doing some of that, but she's got so many projects that if we're serious about water quality, I think we do need a separate position. I don't know if this is the year, I will say that, but I'm supportive of that work. I also made that remark for the members of the Conservation Board to hear that I think it's the work that's already been identified by the in that assessment that would drive this position. I do, however, see conservation being very strongly in that mix. The other thing that I have seen that's been frustrating to me is I've now, for over a year, been our county's representative to the Watershed Management Authority for the headwaters of the South Skunk. Very important part. That watershed is a very important part of our county. Prairie Rivers does staff for what is now called Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority, but have not been successful in finding funds to increase, to expand their role and say they would be able to get this new WMA going. I don't know if this position, if we would want to consider that this position could help do that, but when you look at how much of our county is in that watershed, we need to figure out a way to get moving on that. So I'll leave it there. Those are my comments on that, and I'll stop there. And I don't know, Lisa, if you have any thoughts about this.
I don't. I mean, I certainly would need to evaluate the position and what all would be involved a bit further.
Did you do any revisions on the job description, or we just have the one from last
year? And you have last year's?
I was just...
Right? That's what you printed off?
Yeah. I haven't received any changes to the job description.
Okay.
To date.
There are a few things that a few minor things that came out of that working group that changes to what you see in front of you. But essentially it represents that kind of relationship that I discussed.
So, and that's my concern, that we don't have it here today.
Yeah.
I mean, how are we to even to comment
right
totally and be totally informed if we don't even have what really
what
you're looking for?
Yeah.
Let me say that we have probably, this is Wednesday, we probably have a little time next week. Could you get those changes?
Yeah, you bet.
To Alyssa by the end of this week? Would that?
Yeah, they're very minor. Very minor.
I'm tight this week. I could make changes next week.
You can make changes next week.
I've got
to. Maybe you could just put them in an email to all of us so
sure
we have them.
Sure.
And then
it's not
Alyssa
the major,
can review
it won't
them.
Take me very long, but
no, it's taking 2 minutes.
Okay. Aren't we Monday morning at 9 o'clock? Didn't we set the our meeting that we're going to discuss the positions? We'll have all the position requests, have had all
we
the...
We set one meeting for next Monday.
And I thought that's what we were going to talk about, right, was which positions do we want to look at? Do we want to consider funding? Which ones do we want to go back and tell everybody no?
I've got my calendar in here, but I think
but
that's
But isn't
right.
that the purpose
right.
of that meeting? So staying going
it is,
into next week.
It is. And I don't, yeah, but if, yeah.
Well, if I can get by the end of the week,
the rest
I'll
of
get
week.
It.
If they're minor.
If it's minor, I'll get it done.
Well, yeah, I mean, to email it, I'll if they're minor, it can, you know.
does it change?
It would be good to have it by then. We also did say that we might have some more time. We might be scheduling one more meeting, but please don't count on that. Please get it to us as soon as you can.
If you have time to get it, is it possible to get it by the end of the day today?
Sure.
Tomorrow's my scheduled day for meeting. Friday's pretty tied up.
Friday's tied up.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to see that. Go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say that from the Conservation Board's perspective, I think that we actually brought this forward. We encouraged the staff to bring this position forward last year and still encourage it this year.
Okay.
Because, as you mentioned, Mother, we don't want to see this. All the work that's already gone in, and if you look at statewide at the emphasis of water quality, we don't want to see this, a lot of work that's gone in the report already just gather dust on the shelves where we think it. And the action plan that's been put together is a good one. And there's a substantial amount of work that has to be done that relates to our current work on conservation. I would hate to see some single comment made by a board member at a meeting and reported on, perhaps accurately, perhaps inaccurately, by a reporter who wasn't. So distrust in our board by one or more supervisors, with all the other good work we've done, I don't see the relevance of the two. And that's why I'm having difficulty with this.
Well, I have other reasons, okay, and I think I stated them, but I just wanted you to know my concern is that the Conservation Board, given some authority under the state code independently, to have this person report through conservation, which means reporting through the Conservation Board, my concern is that there might be, if there's some conflict that arises about what our priorities, the board needs, this board, or the one that comes after, needs to be able to step up and very firmly say, no, our priority is we want this person to do that. And so while I bring up the comment, it's the example that I'd like to point out is that you put out the Conservation Board has done so much good, et cetera, and you guys have done a lot of good. I just don't think that that's the way that should be the end result of putting an employee in about, oh, the Board of Supervisors wants this, and the Conservation Board wants to go in a different direction. Oh, what do I do as an employee? I like what Linda had to say about the watershed group, although that's not an option for reporting through, just because, talk about a nightmare, it's hard, we understand, from staff to report to three supervisors. Think about reporting to somebody that's eight people. And then, as I said before, is that the majority of that watershed group does, in fact, report through somebody else. Okay, so my thoughts, and I need to think a little bit more about this, is it appropriate that this watershed coordinator run through external operations? Is it appropriate that the water coordinator position run through our special projects manager, who already is doing some of the work, and that's part of her job? In fact, it's the biggest percentage of her job is to do projects, special projects, and at least is not watershed coordination of projects. We do have already the implementation in what the Board of Supervisors has approved for a plan. That's another thing, that this, if this person runs through and you've got a board of the Conservation Board says, well, we'd like to see this in happen instead, or we'd like to change this,
etc. We're going to have another meeting at 1:30.
I know.
So
let me just say that to clarify, the employees of the County Conservation don't report to the board. The only employee that reports to us is the director. All of the employees report to the director.
So that, in essence, it's whatever the Conservation Board tells the director, then the director tells the other employees.
Right. We don't supervise.
Let's just take this under advisement. Yeah. Let's look at what Mike has for additional input into the job description. Let me ask one question, though. If the job description is adopted and becomes revised, where are the changes made? Do they come to the Board of Supervisors?
As far as changes to a job description,
yeah.
They don't take, unless it changes the pay, there's no formal adoption.
Okay.
Unless you want to make an exception for this.
Did the Conservation Board vote on this job description?
We voted on the original one. We haven't seen the current one because we didn't have a budget for it yet, so why would we?
Okay, so
that's something started out.
Yeah.
Because it's a new position, we'll go through that process, the Conservation Board, or whichever authority is doing that to set the salary.
But see, I'm right there having a problem with it. We haven't even decided whether that was appropriate for you guys to bring it through.
Well,
your board, or whether it should have come from us.
Our job is to bring a budget forward that we think reflects the work that needs to be done, and that's what we did last year, including that position. Mm-hmm. And
I would like to think that the conservation, with a good, clearly written job description, and maybe we agree that it's a joint job description that we have ownership, that both boards have ownership of. I would think that if we do that, and it may sound a little different, but if we do that and we say what guides the work is the job description, and I think then we talk about whether other things need to happen with it before they happen. But I think that there are, you know, and I, Loris, I understand what you're saying. There are lots of, there are positions that touch upon many departments. One way you can say it should be here, there is, so nobody has ownership, but sometimes you want ownership.
And we do have, I don't know if it's a good example, but IRBM kind of done similar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Previously was under secondary roads, and then the board made a decision to put it
and
under conservation.
This is Nancy. I'd just like to say, I want to just step aside for a second as a conservation board member, instead as an organizational development consultant, and say I think we also have a system level situation that we need to think deeply about, is that when the county board appoints a work group or assembles a work group, that when they make a recommendation back, if you may choose not to follow it, you're going to need to be very clear about why not if you choose to do that, or you're going to lose trust in that work group to do what they think is right. So this is just basic human nature. So it may be something in the appointing of the work group, what authority do they have, what has to go in front of the board, what happens if a decision they make is not honored, what's next. Sometimes this is new when we work together in new ways.
Well, I do know that the work group, and I excuse myself from the discussion, but I do know that that's one thing that they did think about a lot, is if it's within one department. I mean, that's been talked about before. If it's within one department, how do we make sure that the position, you know, looks at all of the issues for all of county departments and all of the community? So I think they. And like I said, I wasn't privy to the conversation, but that's the recommendation.
And that's exactly it. And the only other thing I'll add is that the work plan, the plan of work for this position is the implementation plan,
mm-hmm.
period, which is approved by both boards. So I think that it's really that implementation plan that guides what this position does.
Well, Mike, if you can by the end of the day get back to your notes from that meeting and get the changes to all of us.
Yes.
And then Alyssa can look at them. And
are there minutes from that meeting, Mike? In fact, I'd love to see the minutes.
I don't think we've had a subsequent meeting, so
yeah.
They haven't been approved yet. They would be approved at the subsequent meeting. But I do have a memo out of that meeting that I'll bring forward in this regard.
Right. And then my last question before we move on here is that we pointed out that the implementation plan was voted on by both groups. Backing up a little bit, if the Board of Supervisors had voted for it, but the Conservation Board had voted against it,
Which would have overridden the other one?
But that didn't happen.
No, but because I think that's back to about where assigning the ultimate authority. It's my understanding that if you guys had not voted to move a plan forward, but we wanted to see a plan come forward, we'd have gone with Leanne, had Leanne bring it directly to us, and we would have voted on it.
I think she went before.
Yeah. Is everybody clear about that?
And so you know that when there are items that need the approval of both boards,
mm-hmm.
or consideration of...
Yeah, see, I'm wondering, did it need to be approved by the Board of Conservation, given it was the workshop, the Leanne's work, and then the group?
She brought it before all the departments that have say, and because we're organized slightly different than other departments, because we have a volunteer board, that's why we voted on it.
And so when the conservation board considers items that then come forward to the supervisors as well, they make recommendations.
Right.
And so the board's actions are clearly and solely to recommend approval by the Board of Supervisors, and that's what happened in this case.
So, but we all know that. I just want to make sure we understand how it really works. Is that even if Leanne took it around to all of the various different departments and got some feedback on it, which is good, went to the conservation board and got feedback on it, was good, still, we the supervisors, that board at that time, asked that she come up with a matrix. And so we, even if everybody had said no, it had come to us and we'd have made the vote. And, right. Just, okay. All right.
Is there anything else? Okay, I don't need it. Anybody else? Then we're done and we'll